It's showtime, folks!
So this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I will send a bit for someone else. Why all the people always seem to just be on vacation? What they won't get from it, I don't get anything at all. I'm like a trash can holding all the information.
It is Wednesday, my dudes, and welcome into another edition of Overtime, clocking in live from the fan-run studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. I am Tanner Carson. I'm joined in studio by Tucker Holt, executive producer. Got another fantastic edition of the program lined up for you today. We will be with you, as usual, up until 8 o'clock, winding down your hump day out there. Hope everyone is doing well. Tucker, buddy, hope you're doing well.
Doing real well. Had a nice day today. Didn't do a whole lot, but enjoyed this nicer day we've had. You know, a little more sunshine today than usual.
Been pretty good. No concern about big time storms out there or anything.
It's been good. It's been a nice
day. Very hot, though.
Very hot. Yeah, I will say that.
I almost melted when I got into my car.
Yeah, it's a boiler out there.
Thankfully, I have a very good air conditioner.
Nice.
Very solid AC system in my car.
Mine's pretty good, too. It usually cools me down in just a couple minutes.
Mine usually takes like 30, 45 seconds.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's a really good one out there. Not to brag or anything.
You wouldn't do that.
No, I definitely would not do that. Whatsoever. That's not me. How dare you?
For sure.
That is not me. A lot to get into here today, man. And at 6:30, around 6:30, we will be joined by Lucas Panzeca, our good friend out there in Nashville with 104.5 The Zone and VolsWire.com. Got a lot to pick his brain about from areas such as the TSSAA and high school football. A lot of discussion going on today about what their season is going to look like on the heels of Governor Bill Lee extending his state of emergency for the COVID pandemic up to almost the end of August, pretty much making the first 2 weeks of the high school football season impossible.
Pretty much.
So a lot of different variations of what a season could look like for high school, not just football, high school fall sports in general in the state of Tennessee. I wonder that, you know, basketball could be affected too. With basketball starting end of October, start of November as well. A lot of different moving parts that could be affected. Going to ask him about that in addition to college football, NFL, whole lot of topics. So be sure you are tuned in for that about 6:30 when Lucas Panzeca joins. But me and Tucker have plenty to get into here to kick off your Wednesday edition of the show. Let's talk about a bunch of timely, topical sports items as it relates to the Rona. The big Rona. Here's, well, actually, you know what? Before I get to NFL, because I had that pulled up, so I don't forget it, kind of a notable news announcement from Tennessee Athletics today. And today, as in like 30 minutes ago, Tennessee Athletic Department has made it official. And they tweeted this out about 20 minutes ago. Tennessee Athletics will transition to mobile tickets only.
Oh.
For 2020-2021, the transition aims to increase safety amidst the COVID-19 pandemic and to heighten security against counterfeit tickets.
That's a smart move.
This is something that you've had a whole lot of other programs already do.
Yeah.
And this... Even before COVID, this seemed like it was eventually going to be the future. This is eventually going to be something that all programs got on board of for a variety of reasons. And as kind of when we were talking about a lot of minor league baseball teams being canceled, for lack of a better term, it's like right now with COVID, it's almost like it just gives you an excuse to go ahead and get something done. And this is the same type of issue when it pertains to tickets here. I don't know about you, Tucker. I don't know about anyone listening. Ever since I graduated from UT, I've never had like a physical ticket. Unless I've gotten some from somebody, right?
Yeah, I mean, unless they were given to me, I've always, if I have personally purchased a ticket, it's been a mobile ticket. It's just easier. You can't lose it. It's on your phone. They scan your phone. You go in. Easy as pie.
Convenience factor is very key.
Yeah.
As it pertains to Tennessee athletics, trying to stop the counterfeits is also very key. And again, timely right now with the fact that it makes everything touchless.
Yeah.
Makes things safer if we are going to go to sporting events while the pandemic is still going on prior to a vaccine or something like that. So
yeah.
As far as the university is concerned, it's a win-win for them rolling this out, making this known. A lot of people have problems with this. A lot of people are upset because to a lot of people, and I would say season ticket holders especially, think about those designs over these past years for season tickets. That's memorabilia.
Yeah,
to a lot
I mean,
of people. That's very, very sacred to some people, depending on what game you went to. Maybe it's a parent wanting to hold on to the ticket at the first game they took their child to.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, if you're like me, even though I was doing student tickets, I didn't get any fancy ticket or anything like that when I was going, but I did print mine off, I remember. For certain games, just in case I wanted to have them as a keepsake, I have my Florida 2016 ticket framed.
Oh, I still have mine, yeah.
You know, that's pretty cool. So,
that was a physical I had, because that was the only, well, my dad got 2 years of season tickets worth. That's the only physical tickets I've ever had. And those booklets are pretty sweet.
I tweeted out a picture of the 2015 season tickets with the Jack Daniels bottle design.
Yeah, those were cool. Those were cool.
Oh, they're so good. So, man, it sucks from that standpoint. But I hope people will understand that this was going to happen anyway. And I'm not saying I'm completely in favor. I mean, me personally, it doesn't affect me. But I understand why people might be a little upset at this.
Yeah, I mean, it is taking away a bit of memorabilia for you to get. Taking a screenshot of a mobile ticket and printing that off doesn't have that same feel. So I get that. I mean, yeah, I have my 2016, you know, wins, you know, I haven't have them saved. But other than that, I mean, I've been to some great games that I just got mobile tickets for. I mean, if I don't have that ticket, it's not a huge deal. It doesn't take away from the experience or me remembering the game. I just don't have a physical thing.
It's definitely a huge deal for people who collect them.
Yeah.
Maybe an individual stub might not be that big of a loss for people. But again, it's memorabilia items for a whole lot of other fans. Looking at the replies to the tweet sent out by Tennessee Athletics, you're seeing some feedback here from the fans. This one fan replies to the tweet and types out, not a fan of it myself. My dad is 70 and he doesn't even have a smartphone. Your chances of getting him to buy tickets just went to 0%, asking for a big time trouble from the older crowd. And also, what happens in case of an outage? The options should still be there for physical tickets.
Yeah. One thing that I just thought of, they don't tear your ticket. They scan it the same way they would a mobile ticket. So I don't really, I mean, I get what they're doing.
You're saving money also.
You're not printing out tickets.
You're saving paper.
That's probably what this is. And it's
also money. Let's be honest, this is the biggest issue.
It's a money issue.
And they can pass it off right now as, you know, they do have a point.
They
I
have
guess,
a point,
with,
yeah.
With COVID preventions, even though they don't tear your ticket stub off anymore.
They never touched my tickets.
No, they never touched mine
You just
either.
Hold it out and they scan it and they say, go ahead.
It's convenient timing right now for them to say, oh, yeah, this is the main reason. And also,
yeah.
Again, for university's sake and also for some of the fans' sake, you save yourself from counterfeits.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So that's a good point. But at the end of the day, you know this is about them saving money on printing them out. Here's some other replies on this tweet. As someone who collects ticket stubs, I'm not a fan of this at all. This is another tweet. Y'all need some sort of option for printed souvenir tickets for attendees. Specific section, row, seat number, and everything. I don't know.
Maybe have those online.
I guess so.
If you went to the game, you can print this off. Release them after the game. That way you don't have people trying to get in with them.
I just had a thought, and I get it's not the same thing. What's also to stop you from, like, you know, taking a screenshot of, like, your ticket thing, I guess, and, like, printing it out and, like, saving it? I get it's not the same thing. It's probably not.
But if you want something physical,
do it. The same feeling for some people, but nothing's stopping you from printing that out if you need something physical to remind you that you were there.
I mean, buy you a souvenir cup. Keep that.
Those are pricey.
They are.
Those
but
damn pricey,
when they
though.
Started doing the free refill.
Yay, made it worth it.
A little bit. Made it a little better.
I don't get no souvenir cups now at games, Tucker. I buy beer now.
I've not been there since
I buy the expensive beer.
I've not been there since we started serving beer.
Yeah.
Or maybe I have and I didn't need to be drinking beer once I got in the stadium.
Oh, my God, Tucker.
That, you sober up in the stadium.
Sure.
That's the rule.
Some people just keep riding the wave.
I mean, I get that if you're
on campus. That's what I did for BYU.
I get that if you're on campus.
I rode the wave.
And you can just walk.
I rode the wave into that stadium, kept going throughout the first half at halftime. By Georgie, I was in that line to get a beer. What a great $13 spent.
Golly.
I think I bought a Miller Lite.
Shoo.
I think I did. I've been a Bud Light.
Couldn't spend $13 on a beer.
Well, that's what you have to do. Or 12. I'd spend 12 if you want like a... No, I think Michelob Ultra is like 13. There's like a couple that are 12 and a couple that are 13. I don't remember.
I would much rather buy an $8 soda.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, you get two refill, like a free refill. So you get two large sodas for $4, like each.
So
Do they even do that anymore? Because I remember, last time I went, I bought it with the idea of, yeah, I'm getting two.
I haven't personally bought like a Coke or anything at a football or basketball game in years. I would usually just get like a bottle of water, like the $4 bottle of water.
Yeah.
Or now I get beer.
That's a lot of money to buy beer.
Yeah, well, you know what? I get more of a satisfaction out of that than a expensive soda.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, $8 for a soda
less
is...
calories, too, I guess. Yeah, it's probably less calories.
Probably. You're not getting the sugar.
Yeah, you're just getting damage to your liver.
Eh.
So is damage you, too, so, I mean...
The liver heals itself. We've spoke about this. That's why
we have spoken about it.
I was gonna
That's
sell
why you
want
to sell like half your liver on the black market?
Maybe like a third. I'll have to see how much the prices are.
Well, RIP to physical Tennessee tickets. That sucks. Makes me glad now that I've held on to some of mine.
Yeah.
Even though it's not a real big hit to me as a fan. I get why some people are upset. And also, what do you do if you... Like, talk about the older crowd, too, who I know everyone has a smartphone now, but not really everyone has a smartphone. I guess older fans will just have to rely on, I mean, like, either get a smartphone themselves to get mobile tickets or
younger family member.
They'll go with, like, their kids or something like that.
Yeah. That's pretty
that's
much how that'll happen. I mean, and if we have enough older fans that don't have smartphones and ticket sales drop, we'll have tickets next year. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, it'll...
I don't see them going back to physical tickets.
No, they won't.
This seems like a permanent move.
No, they won't. I mean, you won't see ticket sales drop. If you want to go see UT, you're going to find a way. That's just how it works.
That's true. All right. Well, here, moving on. So that's kind of COVID-related, I guess. I mean, it is. But as we've discussed, it's probably not COVID-related, really, when it comes to Tennessee making that move to go away from physical tickets.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back to more COVID-related things here as it pertains to sports. Moving on to the NFL, and this is something they should have been doing anyway. According to a source, the NFL is going to shorten its preseason to just 2 weeks as the league continues to get a plan together for its 2020 season strategy. This is part of a larger plan for players after the unprecedented virtual offseason program during the pandemic. In essence, the league canceled weeks 1 and 4 of its original preseason schedule. It had previously canceled its August 8th Hall of Fame game. Mm-hmm. Most players will still report to training camp on July 28th, but the first preseason games won't be played until August 20th through the 24th. The second week of preseason games is scheduled for the end of August. They should have been doing this anyway.
I was about to say that.
You really
exact
don't
same
need
thing.
A 4-week preseason.
No, nobody. I mean, I'll watch it, but like, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's good for those guys trying to get that last 53rd roster spot. But other than that, it's not that great to watch. So I'm fine. I'm fine with 2 weeks.
I am too. And you already mentioned it. I like, no fans like the 4-week preseason, but you kind of get why they have
yeah,
to do it.
Yeah, you
like
understand.
That. You need enough of a sample size to figure out who's going to make the 53-man roster.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're going to have at the end of the day. But I guess now, I mean, there's a reason NFL coaches and staff, front office people make the money that they do. They have eyes for talent. They have eyes for knowing skill when they see it. I guess some of these players are on the cusp of maybe making the cut or not. They're just going to have to work their ass off even harder.
Pretty much, yeah, that's
like, you. I'm sorry, I don't know what else to tell you. Now, I don't know if this is going to be permanent or not, but if you're going to expand the regular season, you're going to have to cut the preseason.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to have less chance for an injury before you even play
mm-hmm.
actual games.
Yeah. That's the smartest move. I mean, I value regular season games over preseason games. So if you have to cut one or the other, you better not give me 4 weeks of preseason. Like, that's just clear cut. Everyone agrees on that, I would say.
I would hope so.
Except for those guys vying for that 53rd spot.
Again, that's unfortunate for them, but hey, you still have to work throughout training camp, and you will still have 2 games to prove your worth on
yeah.
the field against another opponent.
Yeah.
And you'll see
starters. You'll probably see starters less in those 2 weeks. You'll probably see the starters for, you know, that first quarter of week one.
And again, the only reason they're even out there, right, is to make sure there'll be some fans buy those tickets in the first
pretty
place.
Pretty much.
Who wouldn't usually maybe be in the financial situation to buy regular season NFL tickets.
Yeah.
At least you can say, hey, like, if you're a Titans fan, you got to see Derrick Henry on the field at least for a little bit. Maybe
pretty much.
It was a series or two.
Yeah.
He only touched the ball like 4 times, but you got to see him.
You saw that,
You got
yeah.
to see him. If you're a Packers fan, it's seeing Aaron Rodgers, right? If
mm-hmm.
you're a Chiefs fan, seeing
yeah.
Patrick Mahomes
I still have not seen Patrick Mahomes. So.
Seeing Patrick Mahomes. I guarantee you, if the Chiefs had a preseason game in Charlotte or Nashville,
I'd be there.
And you knew that you would only see Patrick Mahomes throw the ball like 4 times.
I'd be there.
You'd be there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason that the stars are even out there anyway. But now with everything going on, you're gonna have to have some type of modified.
Yeah, you have. There's
way
gonna
going
be.
About this
there's
preseason.
Sacrifices being made all across the board. Sometimes it sucks that it's, you know, it's cutting out a chance for these guys to make a team. But it's kind of with what's going on. It's kind of just par. Yeah, it's par for the course at this point.
So would you? I don't. Like the whole ticket thing we just talked about for Tennessee, when it comes to the NFL in the preseason, I don't see them going back to a 4-week preseason. Maybe
no.
they might go back to 3 next year. There's an argument to be made for that.
Maybe 3.
I don't think they go back to 4 weeks.
No.
I don't think you need
to. You keep guys healthier. 2 weeks may be a little low. 3 weeks. It should be 3 weeks max. 2 weeks I'm perfectly fine with. A little tune-up for the starters the first week. Get them out. Let the guys vying for position play the second half, you know. Last 3 quarters of the first week, and then week 2, there should be no starters on the field, and then just roll with it.
I have no disagreement with it.
Yeah, I mean, makes the most sense.
How confident are you that the NFL in general, I mean, this is just part of their overarching plan to make sure they can get a full season under their belt with everything going on, make sure that they can have players ready to go for the start of the season. I'm pretty confident the NFL can pull it off.
Yeah, they'll be.
I'm more confident they can versus NBA having everyone in the bubble.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense, right? Wouldn't you have more faith in the plan that has players in the bubble?
I'm probably leaning towards NBA just because there's so many players, so many more players involved with the NFL. I mean, an NBA team is what, like 11, 13 guys?
Something like that.
Like counting 5 starters, bench players, stuff like that. So, and you've only got 22 teams. You've got 32 teams of 53 people, plus coaches, staff, medical staff, referees, owners, which owners aren't going to be there. They're much older, and so they'll either be in their bubble of a box or they'll be at home. But I think the NBA is going to get through this. The NFL, I'm a little nervous, but I think they'll end up getting it done. Maybe that's just hopeful, you know, what I'm wanting, but I think these pro teams will find a way to get it done.
NFL's still trying to make things as normal as possible. They're still planning on having fans in attendance for their games. But listen to this report today. The NFL may ask fans to sign a coronavirus liability waiver to attend games this season. Nothing's confirmed. This is per a report, though. So according to The Athletic, the NFL is currently considering the possibility of having fans sign a coronavirus liability waiver before they would be allowed to attend a game. By signing the waiver, fans would agree not to hold the NFL responsible if they were to catch COVID-19 while attending a game. Basically, fans would be forfeiting their right to sue the league and would be assuming all health risks that come with being in a stadium during a global pandemic. Business move.
No-brainer.
A no-duh type of move.
I would sign a waiver.
You would do it? I think I would, too.
I would sign a waiver. If they've got masks and stuff like that, you know, if they're... I don't know if the NFL have said anything about capacity, but especially if they're under 100% capacity and everybody's got masks on, I'd sign that waiver and go to a game. I wouldn't be that worried.
I think I'd do the same thing to see UT.
Yeah, 100%.
They're already going to have distancing measures in place if you do have games this season and they do allow fans.
Yeah.
So you're already going to be spread out. If I have to wear a mask to get in there and only take it off when I'm having a drink or having a bite of a concession snack or something like that, which I don't know how they're going to do that this year. They would still have to sell concessions. They make so much money from that.
I guess. I mean, they're at least going to have water.
At the very least.
Especially for those early September games.
They'll still sell beer.
They'll still sell beer.
You know they're going to.
Yeah.
I would sign a waiver for UT.
Mm-hmm.
I would sign a waiver to attend that. I'm sure you, if you had a chance to go to Arrowhead to see the Chiefs, like if I had a chance to go out to Vegas in that new beautiful, beautiful stadium out there, Allegiant Stadium, if we had a chance to do that, it's not a waiver.
That's not a waiver for sure.
Because here's the thing. That's the NFL having you acknowledge that you're forfeiting your right to sue them if something wrong did happen when it comes to your health because you're accepting the risk that comes with going to a stadium while all this is going on. Haven't we already been accepting risk every time we do something that's been labeled non-essential?
Pretty much.
I went to a friend's birthday party dinner over 2 weeks ago. Had a great steak at Connor's, by the way. Cut the check. I accepted the risk of going out and doing that, and I didn't even have to sign a waiver or anything like that just because I wasn't planning on – if I gotten sick at the restaurant – with the fact that, as I've already, I think when I've talked about going out to eat and things like that, I saw all the restaurant staff wearing gloves, everyone wearing masks. They're taking their precautions. I know I'm accepting a risk by going in there. And as long as staff were taking precautions, I don't think I had any legal basis to sue the restaurant or whatever. So what's the difference with the NFL? You're taking that risk.
Yeah, even without the waiver, you are, by being there, you are accepting the risk. It doesn't really make... It's pretty much just covering up just them having to deal with a bunch of idiots suing. But, like, I don't think anybody would win that lawsuit without a waiver or not.
Let's go to these phones real quick here to make room for Lucas on the other side. Who we got, Tucker?
We got DR Vol.
Ah, love hearing from DR Vol. Hey, what's up, man? You're on overtime.
Hey, Tanner. So, I heard you say what they're going to do about the tickets. I'm not necessarily worried about, you know, having a souvenir or whatever. But what do you think they're going to do for these secondhand sellers? Like, you know, I know I live in West Tennessee, and a lot of times we just wait till we hit Nashville or something, and like Craigslist for tickets or something like that. How do you think that'll affect that as far as, you know, let's say they don't just say the same ticket to five different people just to, you know, double up, I guess you say, on their money?
Yeah, that's one of the first things I thought about, man, when I saw this news. It wasn't the people that would be missing out on the souvenirs, even though that does suck if you collect those. My first thought was, Oh, what about the secondhand market? Because feasibly, if you have a mobile ticket, you can transfer that to one person. But as you just brought up, Dr. Vol, there's nothing to stop someone from selling a ticket to 5-6 different people, making this money, and only one of them gets in. So yeah, that's a problem on their hands. I'm sure that's a problem that UT has considered, and they're not going to be the first program to go to all mobile ticket sales, so maybe they'll just have to follow a precedent set by other programs. But I think that will probably be the biggest issue. Some people might still find a way to get screwed a little bit.
Oh yeah, because I mean, I've caught people trying to sell fake tickets to like Braves games when I go down to Atlanta, and to, you know, Neyland games. So I guess the one positive out of this will eliminate those I need tickets people that, as I'm drunkenly trying to get into Neyland,
exactly,
I'm trying to dodge.
Yeah, that's someone you won't have to deal with anymore. I guess that's a positive for sure. But it's definitely going to be different, man. But again, even with the physical tickets, when's the last time can you remember the ushers actually ripping off the stub or whatever? They're scanning physical tickets just like they're going to have to scan your phone.
Man, I don't know. I've been going to games since 05 and going multiple times a year since 09. I don't remember them ever, honestly, ripping my ticket.
Yeah, you brought that up too, Tucker.
Yeah. Like
they scan it anyway, so what's really going to be the difference? That's when it comes back to the fact that they're doing this mainly for COVID-19 safety. No, they're actually doing it just to save some money on printing off some
pretty
tickets.
Much, yeah.
That's what boils down
to. One thing I will say about the resale issue, 90% of my mobile tickets I buy come off of resale apps from actual people. I don't know how that works. I don't know if they upload it to that app and then it kind of restricts their access of it or something like that.
You get a unique code or something like that, I would assume.
They just send me a mobile ticket, which I don't know how it would stop them from screenshotting their ticket and using it after they've sold it to me. But so far, I've not been screwed. So you
so
can
what,
buy.
What do you mean by that? Like StubHub or something? Is that what you mean?
Tickets apps like that. There's a couple that are resale tickets.
I was gonna say StubHub, Ticketmaster. That's usually through the ticket seller. I know what you're talking about though, Tucker. When it's these third party,
yeah,
apps basically.
Yes, they are sold by people after the school sends them out. So I don't know. Maybe I am buying them straight from the school and don't know it, but I'm about 90% sure they're resale tickets.
At the end of the day, guys, this just assures UT more that they're going to make their money.
Yeah, pretty much.
They're not losing out.
Yeah. I mean, because now you're probably going to cut back on those secondhand dealers, and you just have to buy directly from the school. Which I don't know. It's been years since I've actually bought directly from the school, but I know y'all got another caller, guys. I'll get off here. See ya.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, Dr. Vol. Yeah, we got Lucas on the phone right now. Tucker is getting him on as soon as we hit this break. That is Lucas, correct, Tucker? I figured it was Lucas. We are going to get to Mr. Lucas Panzeca. When we come back from this break, Lucas Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone and VolsWire.com. We're going to speak to him after this break. Stick with us here on Overtime. All right, welcome back into Overtime here on this Wednesday. Going over to the phone lines right now. Pleased to be joined, as we are about once a week, by Lucas Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone, and VolsWire.com. And, of course, you know him as an alum of Overtime and Fan Run Radio. Lucas, my man, happy second half of the year 2020. Let's hope we come out of the locker room as a planet. A lot better we did in the first half, man.
No doubt. 183 down, 183 days to go. Let's see if we can't recover some of this.
I don't want to be catching off guard with this question here, but I had to think. I had to think of this. If you had to give a pep talk to Planet Earth and you had to hammer home one major point for Earth to kick 2020's ass in the second half, what's the one thing you would tell Earth right now in the second half of the year?
Oh, right now, and
yeah,
Speaking of immediate terms, I guess wear a mask. That's the first thing that pops into mind, right, as we try to get sports back to some kind of normalcy and battle through these upticks in cases that we're seeing. It's hard to think of something else to tell people right now.
Hey, I'm with you, man. That should be, I mean, that's one of the easiest things. But
they had us in the first half, not going to lie.
Oh, they absolutely has. I mean, that the meme going around 42-0, 2020 over Earth.
Had us in the first half.
Feels like 77-0 right now. Well, anyway, Lucas, glad you can join us per usual here. A lot to talk to you about here. I want to start with something that you and me both have been close to these past few years. That is high school football in the state of Tennessee. You doing play-by-play over in Dixon County and me covering a bunch of different schools in Sevier County as well. Both of us have been close to high school football in these last few years, and just having a high school football, and not just football as well, talk about all fall sports, just getting these off the ground for this fall in the TSSAA, it's like you got to climb up a mountain here to get things started later on this fall. What was the board that met today, Lucas? I forgot the board's name for TSSAA.
Yeah, well, the Board of Control for the TSSAA met today to sort of relay the three clear-cut options that they have for this upcoming season, because we learned yesterday, because of Governor Lee's state of emergency going through August 29th, that officially eliminates any possibility of those first 2 weeks, or really first 3 weeks of practice even being held for high school football. August 29th is supposed to be about week two of the high school football season, so players won't be able to start practicing until August 30th. And then it was just three different options that were outlined. I believe the first option, full slate of playoffs, like normal, the top four teams in each region advance. Option two, which seems to be, for one reason or another, the most popular among most people or media members, is an eight-game regular season, but two teams from each region advance to the playoffs. So you essentially take away that first week and first round of playoff action in high school football. And then the third option that off the top of my head I'm not quite remembering, we'll have to go back and look at it. But as of right now, I think those first two options are really the ones that are sticking out and the ones that they may be deciding between here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, got to make a decision sometimes, what will be pretty soon for sure. I hate it that you – I mean, for so many reasons. I mean, me and Tucker talked about this yesterday. You talk about hating what would happen if you had a reduced or didn't have a college football season at all for these college players. I mean, for most of these high school players, man, this is going to be the last football they ever play. And I would hate to think for these upcoming seniors, for them to have no season at all or to go through something like you play like half a season, but you're not playing for a state championship, whatever the other options on the table, man. My heart hurts a whole lot for what could happen in high school sports this fall.
Yeah, and that's really why I do not envy any decision makers, whether it's at the TSSAA or superintendents or just coaches and leaders of athletic programs in the state, because, you know, there's so many levels of ramifications, too. I mean, you mentioned the vast majority of the kids that aren't going to be playing at the next level, and they know that, and just want to get that last go-around with their guys and playing high school football. Then there's, of course, the level of guys who maybe have some offers on the table, and this senior year is really important for finding out their college destination. And then there's guys that really scratch and claw to get scholarship offers. I've covered a lot of these kind of kids, Tanner. I know you have too, that, you know, maybe by the end of their senior year in April, finally are able to get a D3 destination. That those 10 games in the regular season are huge for those kids. So many different levels that you feel for the kids involved and coaches and everything else. But what I worry about, even with these options being laid out, because look, an 8-game regular season and a playoff where you wipe away the first weekend of playoffs, or a 7-game regular season with a full playoff slate, that sounds pretty good considering everything that's going on. But you worry about if it's going to be a moot point or not, because if the governor's state of emergency gets pushed even more forwards and the number of cases don't go down, then that'll just cancel everything altogether. None of this matters if the state of emergency has to be extended through, say, October. Then at that point, you're looking at a lack of high school football altogether. So it's kind of this balance of trying to find the right option right now, while also knowing that here in a couple months, if things aren't looking a lot better, then it all might be a moot point.
Yeah, that's just so terrible to think about, too. So hopefully the state can get its act together and when it comes to the fact that you have to deal with outside factors, taking into consideration what type of season you're going to get, if not at all when it pertains to the state of emergency, the general population is going to have to do its part too. And Lucas, man, I assume that's when, like me, when it comes to the general population having to have the high school football season in its hands, that's where I'm not feeling as confident. So I just looked at the options, by the way, and nothing there mentioned the possibility of a spring season. Do you think that that could be a possibility the TSSAA revisits, or is that just out the window at this point, the possibility of playing in, like, February?
Well, no, it was something that was floated out, and I was talking to a couple of athletic directors just the other day that floated that possibility out. Really, it's just a rumor that maybe some other states have been talking about, but no, they effectively removed that possibility today, because then you're talking about having these kids, you know, play a full football season and then 3 months later pick up and do it again. And for high school athletes, you know, that's a lot to ask. And then, you know, also the idea of these baseball and softball athletes, you know, if their season has to be played this fall, and then they have to wait a year and a half for their next season. As Bernard Childress said today, those people have suffered enough. So I think they've officially removed, you know, that possibility out of the equation. But, you know, another thing I worry about too is the TSSAA wants to get this done, obviously. Every school wants to get this done because football is such a huge part of their revenue. But that all comes from fans in the stands, buying concessions, buying tickets, boosters, and everything else. And if the games can be played and there are no fans, and then what? Because at that point, you're risking kids going out there and hitting each other, playing a close contact sport with no money to be made off it, when we know that that is a significant portion of the TSSAA and all these schools' income for their athletic programs. So there's so many different levels to balance here, and that's why I said I just do not envy anybody having to make these decisions. But just unfortunately, all they can do right now is lay out these options and then revisit it in the coming weeks.
We are speaking with Lucas Panzeca, 104.5 The Zone and VolsWire.com. Keeping with the same topic, but moving on to college football, man, and the Penn State athletic director, Sandy Barber, and comments made via a Zoom teleconference today, talking about the potential of the college football season played in the spring. He kind of more or less says the same thing that you said when it pertains to high school football in the spring. This is what he said. He said, one of the biggest challenges of the spring season, and it's probably the biggest one in my mind, is the proximity to next season, and frankly, a second lost spring ball. Overcomable if perhaps we're willing to have a shortened season, again, in the category of something is better than nothing, that may not be a problem at all. The athletic director of Penn State, he's calling spring college football a last resort type of option. So do you think the same thing applies when we're talking from high school football to college football? If they can't get any football played this fall, do you think a lot of college football athletic directors would like maybe a shortened season in the spring?
I could see that happening more so with college football, but then it's still the same discussion, because there is a domino effect on the following season, whether you like it or not, because you're talking about the difference between a 6 to 8 month break in the regular season to maybe a 3 to 4 month break. And these are collegiate student athletes that are not getting paid and obviously are helping the school make tons of money. So that is probably going to be a very touchy subject, probably a very polarizing subject if we get to that point, and that still remains to be seen. So, you know, I expect every effort to be made for football to happen in the fall before December, at least the conclusion of the regular season before December. And if we can get to that point, great. If not, I worry about what that discussion would look like, because I have a hard time seeing a resolution that would be okay with a lot of people involved.
So, talking college football, what do you think right now? I mean, I know we talked about this last time we were on, but as it goes with a lot of things in the pandemic, things change from day to day and week to week. Right now, as we start the month of July, July is going to be obviously an extremely important month all across the sport of college football for what type of season, if any, we will have in the fall. Now, I still think we're going to play college football in some form. I don't know if that's going to be conference games only. I don't know if that's going to be you know, six games and then that's it. I don't know. That's, you know, maybe is a last resort in the spring. I think we're going to get college football still played in some form or fashion. But Lucas, in your mind, what do you think is the most likely season we're going to see as things set at the start of July?
Well, I think I'm to the point where I find it unlikely we're going to start on time with that Labor Day weekend target that was originally scheduled. And, you know, maybe something to the like of what the TWSAA is discussing with Tennessee high school football of pushing it back 2 or 3 weeks and buying yourself some time at a minimum. But I'm with you, Tanner. I really think games will be played this fall. And if they have to be played without fans in the stands, then that's the point that we have to be at. But I think they would rather play games with limited to no fans in the stands in the fall than having to revisit it and push it to spring, because that, like I said, has a domino effect not only to football the following season in 2021, but to all the other surrounding sports in the spring and winter. What do you do with those? So I think football will be played this fall. What that looks like, I don't know, but I don't think anybody really does.
Couple more quick questions before we get you out here, Lucas. Quickly in the NFL, something not related to COVID, thankfully. Let's get our minds off that for a second. Your reaction to the Patriots signing Cam Newton to a 1-year deal, and what do you think Cam Newton's going to bring to the Patriots coming off of him only playing 2 games last season due to his injury issues? And do you think this still makes the Patriots a threat in the AFC?
Well, I think it's definitely an interesting marriage there, and I can't say I'm really surprised. Like, did we really think that Jarrett Stidham was going to come out and lead the Patriots as a starting quarterback in 2020? So I wasn't too shocked by it, but I'm excited to see it, man. You got one of the more flamboyant, out there characters in the NFL when it comes to Cam Newton and his celebrations and all that. Not that it's a bad thing at all, but just how that might work with Bill Belichick and the Patriots style thing. So I'm excited. I absolutely think there'll be a threat in the AFC. I think he still has a ton to offer. If he's got weapons around him, Bill Belichick and Cam Newton are going to find a way to win. I have no doubt about that. So Patriots are a playoff team in my mind in 2020, absolutely, and especially with this new signing. It didn't surprise me too much. Maybe the number he was signed for was the most surprising thing about it, but I'm excited to see how they look.
Lucas, as always, man, we appreciate you coming on here. Great discussion as usual. Hey, man, tell people where they can follow your work over at Vols Wire. I know y'all got stuff still going on over there, and where they can follow you on social media.
Sure, VolsWire.com. You know, constantly have stuff churning out as we get closer to hopefully a football season. And at Lucas Panzeek on Twitter is where to find me, guys. I appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate your time as always, my man. You have a good week. All right, Lucas Panzeek, 1045 The Zone, VolsWire.com, making an outstanding presence felt on overtime per usual. Biggest takeaway from that Tucker, before we go to break, from what he said, I think the high school discussion is something that I think a lot more people are going to have their eyes on than usual when it comes to people caring about high school sports around here.
Yeah, it's going to be extreme. Like, I just cannot imagine having to make these decisions. Like, he touched on just like how he's glad he's don't have any hand on this, because you essentially could rob thousands of kids a year of football, possibly their last chance at football. And I don't know, there's so many problems that could arise with this, and just people are going to be angry no matter what unless you have a full season. And there's still going to be people angry at you having for full season. Nothing great is going to come out of this. And it just sucks. It just sucks.
We've been using the phrase something's better than nothing a lot when it comes to the outlook of our fall sports. That's definitely true when it comes to high school.
Oh, for sure.
Hey, oh, Lord, smaller schools need to have some type of revenue from that.
They've got to have something. And I don't know what you do.
865-546-8200 is the number for you to hop on our phone lines, 546-8200. We're going to hit another short break and come back to wrap up hour one of overtime. Stay with us. Ooh, how about this? Some breaking news here in Knox County. The Knox County Board of Health has passed a mandatory mask order.
Oh.
They passed a motion today to make wearing a face mask in public mandatory starting Friday. You got one more day, people. You people that don't want to wear a mask out in public, you got your one more day of freedom tomorrow.
All right, then.
This isn't even like a freedom issue.
Not really. It's a health issue.
Like, and I'm very pro-liberty. When I'm saying that, you just, you know, it's, you know, it's really not a personal liberty issue. I mean, again, I kind of hate it. Like, here's where I would have a problem with stuff. If you punish people for not wearing them in public with like a massive fine, or like you threw them in jail, like what the hell's the use of that? What's the use of putting more people in a jail where you're already crowded anyway?
Yeah,
it seems like you're shooting yourself in the foot. That's where I might have a problem. But again, if I don't know, at the end of the day, just wear a mask for a minute while you're going out shopping.
Pretty much.
I think that's it. So yeah, breaking news from the Knox County Board of Health. Friday, you're out in Knox County in public, wear your mask. And there you go.
All righty.
All right. So news concerning Knox County. Let's go back to these phone lines, Tucker. Let's get Connor on the line as we close out hour number one of Overtime. Connor, welcome in, sir.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Hey, going pretty well. Good, man. What you got for us?
Hey, a question that I just thought of with y'all talking about high school football. So obviously, like, with the potential for a year to get canceled, like, obviously, there's going to be your blue-chip athletes who have been looked at ever since they were, like, freshmen and sophomores, you know, that are just being committed by the Alabamas of the world. But are we going to potentially see a talent reduction across the board for the mid-tier programs, like potentially ours, where, you know, the kids, though, would typically have a resurgence of a season senior year that then get put on boards and then would get into college? Are we, like, going to not see those kids get into college and play as a result, thereby hurting teams like ours? Would like to know what you guys think. Thanks.
Hey, appreciate the phone call, Connor. And Tucker, me and you discussed something similar to that before we started the show out in the lobby, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the point of if the TWSAA ends up going with the option of we're going to play like 5-6 games. What was it? 5 games max, right? I think. So half the regular season.
Yeah, there are multiple options. One of them being, so right now there's 4 options. The 4th option is no football state title given out in 2020, and they would only play 5 games. But that doesn't have a lot of sport right now.
So, yeah, and I don't see why it wouldn't. That's a very last resort type of deal. And me and you discussed, hey, if you're doing that, at that point, it's just to get some kids on film for their colleges.
Yeah, and similar to what Connor was just saying, you won't have the, you know, you have those guys who are kind of low on the radar. They're getting, you know, some D2 offers, stuff like that, up until their senior year. And then they've fully matured. They're a grown man in their, you know, they're 18 years old, grown man, senior year. And they absolutely reach their full potential, and turns out they're a D1 athlete.
Whole lot of players like that every single recruiting cycle. Now, when it comes to dealing with the possibility of some states not having a high school football season, which a lot of college programs recruiting these high school kids are going to have to take in consideration, I guarantee you there's going to be at least a handful of states who probably don't have high school football this year.
Yeah.
With that being said, that's why it's so important to go ahead and start scouting these kids out years in the past. Mm-hmm. That's why camps are so important. But I get what Connor's saying. I get what we're talking about here. We're not talking about those players.
Yeah.
We're talking about the ones who really catch programs' eyes in their final year of eligibility and their senior season. And if they get that taken away from them, whew. Across the board, it's going to be kind of rough. It's going to be kind of rough. That might mean camps – I don't know. Would it be too late for you to show out some camp in the off season at that point? Because National Sign Day's December and February.
Yeah, it would probably be
too late.
What I think is going to end up happening is if you've shown any interest, if you've garnished any interest, you know, in some of these, and you might have a little bit of potential, you might see these D2 schools, you know, lower schools, taking more flyers. You know, if that were to happen, you know, this guy could be, could not, stuff like that. Then, if those guys end up being elite athletes, the transfer portal will be very heavily used if that were to happen. You'll see these guys fully flourish into who they would have been their senior year and realize they can be at Division One big schools.
That's something intriguing to think about
years
down the road if you did have a whole lot of players who fit that type of mold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, that's something a lot of people probably haven't thought about yet, and until now, I would say.
Yeah, I mean,
that's a possibility of you could miss out whatever program you're talking about, whether it's Tennessee or a Group of Five school.
Yeah,
that's looking for a D1 caliber athlete, and they don't show out until their senior season. That could get taken away from you. So the job of your director of recruiting, some of your main recruiters on your football staff, it becomes even more important for their eyes to be able to spot talent.
Yes, and I'm sure I don't have the data or whatever to look back at it, but, you know, say whatever class, you know, right now we're already looking at, you know, the class of 2022 in some states or in some cases. That board will look completely different in the year 2022 when guys catch up to those guys, if those guys fizzle out. A lot of that can go, you know, we're in these kids' class now. It can change in this year. So it just depends on how well guys perform and how bad they perform. So, I mean, it takes out of a lot of the – there's a lot more guesswork, pretty much.
I hope all kids in every state in this union get to play some high school football just for the sake of their future.
Yes.
I really hope that happens. But even though I'm kind of an optimist when it comes to playing college football, I just see some states not having it this year.
Yeah.
I really just see some states making that decision, which just hurts, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about kids here.
It's awful.
I'm talking about the futures of them. All right. Well, hour number one of overtime is done. Hour two is coming up on the other side. If you would like to get on the phone lines like others have today, call us at 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Hour two is coming up soon.